بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، in our previous class we were discussing the portion the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى about the fact that the iman, it increases whenever one he has applied those descriptions of faith and those characteristics and actions of al-iman, whenever one complies to them and applies them and lives by them and abides by them in this manner, his faith increases and it becomes stronger. And also on the contrary, that according to the deficiency of the application of those characteristics and those actions and traits and manners will determine the deficiency of the faith as well. So based upon this, the people of faith, they are different categories. They are not all one level. Rather, the author he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the people of al-Iman, they are in three categories, or in three ranks, in three groups. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, sabiquna muqarrabun. They are the first and foremost, those who hasten and proceed in doing good, and they are the nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned their description, وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ قَامُوا بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ وَتَرَكُوا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَالْمَكْرُوهَاتِ وَفُضُولَ الْمُبَاحَاتِ. And they are those who have established the obligations. They have established the obligations. And we remember the reality of this establishment and the performance of these obligations is not simply outwardly. It's not the outward aspect only, but these people here, they have established the obligations inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. They are establishing the prayer, for example, from the obligations that they established, the five daily prayers. They established that outwardly, no doubt, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But likewise, at the same time, they're not heedless inside while performing that. And those who perform those rites outwardly, but they're negligent and heedless inwardly, they will not be from as-sabiqoon al-muqarrabun. And so this is a point to take note. Because just to read here, it says that those who perform the obligations and the recommended affairs, and they stay away from that which is impermissible and disliked, and they avoid and leave off some of the affairs that are permissible, one may just think that simply by doing this is what is included. But rather, the religion is something that is in the heart, and likewise on the tongue and on the body parts. So these people, Ahlus Sabq, Wal-Qurb, they have performed the obligations and that which is recommended, and with the heart first and foremost. The obligations of making the deen entirely and purity for Allah alone, and purifying the intention and having the beautiful and good intention in every action and every statement that they do, from the actions of worship. And even they have perfected that affair and in order to turn some of the daily affairs into actions of worship. And for example, because of their knowledge of the intention and their knowledge of the affairs of the heart. So therefore, their heart is coupled with ibadah at all times. And their heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance. And this is how they perform the obligations. And this is how they perform. And this is how they perform the recommended affairs. So it's not simply a performance outwardly what is intended here. You need to reach this high level. But rather, these obligations include first and foremost the actions of the heart. The actions of the heart, as well as the tongue and the body parts. So those obligations, they're performed properly. They're established properly. These people who are first and foremost, and they are the nearest and the highest in rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they perform and establish the obligations inwardly and outwardly. And that which is recommended likewise, inwardly and outwardly. And also they avoid and they leave off that which is impermissible, and as well that which is disliked. And they do that out of fear of Allah and reverence and honor for Allah and His religion, and respect of the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah. So they will not leave them heedlessly, rather they leave them with awe and fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the time desiring the reward. And likewise, they'll leave off some of the affairs that are even permissible for them, afraid that it will drag them or lead them to disobedience, or lead them to falling into something that would earn them the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore their hearts are connected to Allah, yani alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the people who have tahqiqu al-tawheed. They have actualized and fulfilled the rights of al-tawheed. They have actualized and fulfilled the rights of al-tawheed. So this is yani the example of as-sabiquna al-muqarrabun. Likewise, the muqtasibun, they share with them in that. Likewise, the muqtasidun, they share with them in that. But they have a lower level. And the Shaykh, he says, وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ قَامُوا بِالْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرَكُوا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. There are those who have established the obligations, any inwardly and outwardly, like has proceeded. And they avoided and left off the prohibitions. But likewise, they leave off some of the affairs that are recommended. But also, they leave off some of the affairs that are recommended. So they don't have that status and rank and that high level. Some of the affairs that are recommended, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. And likewise, possibly they perform some of the things that are disliked. So therefore, their level is a bit lower. Both of these levels here, those who die in this state, they have the promise of paradise. Many of the people of knowledge, they will mention with no reckoning. With no reckoning and no punishment. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that as-sabiqun al-muqarrabun, they are the ones who enter paradise with no reckoning and no punishment. And as for al-muqtasidun, then they are the ones that have al-hisab al-yasir. They have a light reckoning, which is called al-ard. The presentation, meaning their deeds will be presented to them and then they will be forgiven and pardoned. They will not be held accountable. It will be a light affair. They will not be taken to account for every last action and statement. Indeed, there will be a light reckoning, and then they will be excused and pardoned and entered into paradise with the first and foremost of those who go. And as for the third level, وَالظَّالِمُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, those who oppress their own souls. The Shaykh, he mentioned, وَهُمُ الَّذِينَ تَرَكُوا بَعْضَ وَاجِبَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ. These are the ones who have left off some of the obligations of faith. وَفَعَلُوا بَعْضَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ, and they have perpetrated some of the prohibitions. كَمَا ذَكَرَهُمَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْلِهِ, and this is just as Allah has mentioned them in His statement. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. ذلك هو الفضل الكبير. Then he mentioned the evidence for this division here clearly, yani in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Fatir, and it is verse number 32, and this is a very important verse yani to understand with regards to this issue specifically. And Allah, he mentioned, and then we have cause to inherit the book, meaning the revelation, meaning the seal of the revelation, this Quran, those who we have chosen from our slaves, meaning the Ummah of Muhammad. Meaning of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here, from this wording here, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned that these three categories, they are Ahlu al-Istifa'. Ahlu al-Istifa'. Istafahum Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liyakunu min ummati Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the people, the chosen people. يعني ثم أورثنا كتاب الذين استفينا min ibadina. Al-istifa is to select and choose from the names of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mustafa. Al-mustafa yani al-mukhtar, al-mujtaba, the one who was selected and chosen, the chosen one. So likewise, the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're also chosen and they're also selected. So the point now is that this includes all of them. The entire Ummah of Muhammad, all of them who share the name of Iman, the reality of Iman, all of them, they share faith. All of them are Muslims. All of them are followers and believers in that which is revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're all selected and chosen. The best of them and the worst of them. All of them are Ahlu al-Istifa. So this is an honor. This is an honor that we should all realize, that we should all recognize. And this would help us to strive to be from those who are the best, to show thanks for that blessing and to fulfill that trust. And it's an aman and a great blessing and favor to be from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore this requires a believer to show thanks, to learn the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to know who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to know him and by his name, and to know him by his lineage, and to know him by his seerah and his biography, what he was upon before Islam from piety and from purity in manners and conduct, and likewise even in creed before the coming of prophethood, and to know his lofty status and rank after prophethood sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and how he dealt with his companions and how he dealt with his enemies, and how he was tried yet he was given success, and victory was for him and many of those who opposed him and hated him and sought to kill him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they became the greatest supporters and followers. You need to learn about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and follow his way. This is the reality of showing thanks for being from Ahlu al-Istifa. Inna Allah yu'ti ad-dunya liman yuhibbu wa man la yuhibbu wa la yu'ti ad-dina illa liman yuhib. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that verily Allah, he gives this dunya, the worldly life, to those whom he loves and those whom he does not love. But he only gives the religion to those whom he loves. So therefore, those who have been chosen and selected to be from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Allah, he loves all of them. But according to their faith and their iman, according to their piety and their compliance to the deen and to the regulations of al-Islam, and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would determine their rank and status with regards to that love. Will determine their rank and status with regards to that love, how much of the love of Allah they have. And this also is in turn clarifying how much love they have for Allah as well. Because the more one loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more one he will obey him. And the more one obeys him, the more Allah loves him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are affairs here that we benefit from now, knowing that we, the Ummah of Muhammad, alhamdulillah, ahlu istifa, istafana Allahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has chosen us and selected us. And we ask him to make us from those who are thankful, and to make us from those who remember him in public and in private, and comply to him with submission and humbleness and truthfulness and sincerity and purity of intention. We ask him from his favor and from his grace, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla in this verse now, he clarifies any of the details of this ummah, that فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. This is the evidence for the author here that there are three categories. And from the Ummah of Muhammad, those who have been selected and chosen to be the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are those who oppress their own souls, and there are those who take a middle course, and there are those who hasten and proceed in doing good by their permission of Allah. And this is the great grace and bounty from Allah. You need to be from Ahlu al-Istifa, to be from Ahlu al-Istifa. So here it's very clear that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam are three categories and three ranks. And what determines them is their faith. What determines these ranks is their obedience. So those who are at the lowest level and the level of al-Islam, they are those who have iman, but they do not complete the obligations of iman. So therefore they're considered from those who oppress their own souls. They oppress their own souls with sins and actions of disobedience, with dhulm, that is lesser than shirk, that is lesser than kufr. So they're still in the realm of iman. They're still Muslims, but they did not fulfill the rights of faith. And then there are those who fulfill the rights of faith, and they have fulfilled the obligations upon them and the rights of al-Islam, alhamdulillah, and they are on the middle course. And then above them, there are those who hasten even greater and to do even more. So we can see here, and in this verse, we see we have ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, those who oppress their own souls. We have the مُقْتَسِدِ, the muqtasidun, those who take the middle course, the muqtasid, those who take the middle course, and we have the sabiq bil khayrat, those who hasten to do the good. Also, they need to understand back to that circle that we have seen, the zalim li nafsihi, that's the big circle. And then the muqtasid is the smaller circle that's higher than that. And the sabiq bil khayrat, that's the highest circle that's smaller than all of them. So the first circle was at Islam. And that's the realm that they all share. All of them are Muslims. But those who did not make it to the level of al-muqtasidin, those who did not make it to the level of al-iman, then they have deficiency in their faith. All that they share with the believers, the faith. And they're in the fold of faith. And then from the believers, there's those who have hastened and perfected their deen and mastered their faith in ibadah and worship, until they worship Allah as if they see him, and they're at the highest levels and ranks. And in each of these levels, the people of Islam, they're not all the same. Those who oppress their souls, they're not all the same. There are some who oppress their souls sometimes, any or any in a more way, in a worser way, in a bad manner, or they violate the rights any in a more hideous manner. There are some who are lesser than that. And the likes like this. And likewise the believers, those who are on the level of Iman al-Mutlaq. They're not all one level likewise, but they're in that same area. Then those who hasten to do good from Ahli al-Ihsan, likewise the darajat. وَلِكُلٍ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. And all of them, they have ranks and levels according to their actions. Yesterday we were reading a narration that is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and Ibn Kathir. He mentioned this in his tafsir here. And it was the narration of Uqba ibn Sahnan that he said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha about this verse that we're studying now, the verse of Ahlul Istifa. And she said that all of them are in Jannah. And need to clarify that these are what is intended here as the Ummah of Muhammad. This has also been mentioned likewise from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that these all three categories are in Jannah, meaning from the Ummah of Muhammad. But then she clarified, and we benefit from this, the humbleness of Aisha radiallahu anha, and we know her status and we know her rank. And we know that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من أحب الناس إليك من أحب الناس إليك يا رسول الله, who is the most beloved of the people to you, O Messenger of Allah? And he said Aisha رضي الله عنها. And then he said, and then they said to him, من الرجال, any from the men. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what did he say? أبوها, who is أبوها? أبو بكر. But he didn't say أبو بكر, he said أبوها, her father. Her, and he referring the affair back to her. He loves her so much, like in this manner. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love Aisha. And then who from the men? Her father. And he could have said Abu Bakr, but to emphasize the fact, her father. It's her father. Yani radiallahu anhuma. So this is an indication of the rank and status of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Allah decreed that the Prophet will be with her on her day, whenever he's dying. On the day that his death comes is on her day, in her lap. And her brother came in with the miswak, and she took it from him, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted it, and she moistened it with her mouth, and then put it in his mouth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he died. Sallallahu alaihi, this is the status of Aisha radiallahu anha. So she has a high rank. We all know that. And we all love her for the sake of Allah. And she is the mother of the believers. Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anhuma. So this is what she says about this verse here. Who are the three categories? Those who hasten to do good, those who are on the middle course, and those who oppress their own souls. We've seen the summarization of who they are. And what the people of knowledge, they have come to this conclusion, who they are in this manner. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, أَمَّا السَّابِقُ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ فَمَنْ مَضَى عَلَى أَحْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَشَهِدَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ بِالْحَيَاتِ وَالرِّزْقِ. As for those who proceed and hasten to do the good, then there are those who have already proceeded. In the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who the Messenger witnessed good for them, and they will have a good life, and they will have the good provision. And those who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died while he's pleased with them, and from his companions, and they have proceeded. وَأَمَّا الْمُقْتَسِدُ فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ أَثَرَهُ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ حَتَّى لَحِقَ بِهِ. And as for the moderate course, then there are those who followed his path, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his companions until they caught up with him. And until they died. I mean, they followed the way of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, until they died. And then she says, radiallahu anha, وَأَمَّا الظَّالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ. And as for the one who oppresses his own soul, فَمِثْلِي وَمِثْلُكُمْ فَمِثْلِي وَمِثْلُكُمْ. So then, as for those who oppress their own soul, then the likes of me and the likes of you. And he's saying this to Uqba, the one who's asking the question. And he's humbling herself in this manner. As for those, those best and first and foremost, they've already proceeded with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for those who oppress their own souls, the likes of me and the likes of you from the Tabi'een. So then the Uqba, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَجَعَلَتْ نَفْسَهَا مَعَنَا. So she considered herself to be from amongst us. In this manner. And Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, وَهَذَا منها رضي الله عنها من باب الحضم والتواضع. And this is any from her, any this speech here, any in this manner, رضي الله عنها, is from her humbleness and swallowing the pride, يعني being humble. رضي الله عنها وإلا فهي أكبر السابقين بالخيرات. But in reality, she is the greatest. She's from the greatest. من أكبر فهي من أكبر السابقين بالخيرات. But in reality, she is from the greatest of those who hasten to do good. She's from the greatest of those who hasten to do good. رضي الله عنها. I remember now narration. Forget where it's collected. We have to review that, inshallah, and also to verify its authenticity. But I remember a narration now that one time Aisha radiallahu anha, she was fasting and she had some charity. This was after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she had distributed everything that she had in that time, all of her food. She had given it all away in charity. And then whenever it came time to break fast, her servant reminded her to break fast, and then she had nothing to break fast with, and she had forgotten that she was fasting. Yani she gave all of her wealth away, and at the time, by the time it's time to break fast, she has nothing for herself. Radiyallahu anha, and she completely forgot her own self, and forgot yani her own needs and her own desires, and she gave in charity any to the believers in this manner, giving everything away, and then it's time for her to break fast, and she finds that she has nothing. She had given it all away, radiallahu anha. So no doubt she's from any of those first and foremost. These are our role models. These are our role models. The point from the author is to clarify, rahimahullah, these different levels. And this is an indication that iman, it fluctuates and varies. And it goes up and it goes down. And the people of that iman, they're not the same. In our previous class, I mentioned the benefit that was from Shaykh Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti, rahimahullah, in his Tafsir Adwa'u Al-Bayan fi Idahi Al-Qur'an bil-Qur'an. And we read, yani, for the benefit of this, what he mentioned with regards to these verses, these verses here in Surah Al-Fatir. So he mentioned, rahimahullah, that these verses here, min arja ayat al-Qur'an al-Azim, qawluhu ta'ala, that from the most hopeful verses of the great Quran, the verses that bring the most hope, is the statement of Allah, the Most High, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلُؤْلُؤًا وَلِبَاسُهُمْ فِيهَا حَرِيرٌ وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّا الْحَزَنَ إِنَّ رَبَّنَا لَغَفُورٌ شَكُورٌ الَّذِي أَحَلَّنَا دَارَ الْمُقَامَةِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لا يمسنا فيها نصب ولا يمسنا فيها لغوب. And he mentioned these verses here, that the meaning of which is, and then we have cause to inherit the book, those whom we have chosen from our slaves. From them there are those who oppress their own selves, and from them are those who take a middle course, and from them there are those who hasten, and first and foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. And that is the great grace. This is the great grace. Everlasting gardens of paradise, they all will enter, and they will be bestowed wearing bracelets of gold and pearls. They will be given adorned with bracelets of gold and pearls, and their clothing and garments in that paradise will be silk. And they will say, all praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has removed from us all grief and all worry. And verily, our Lord is most forgiving and thankful, showing appreciation for the good deeds. And He is the one who has caused us to live in an everlasting abode from His grace. And now, no hardship and no tiredness will ever touch us again. And these are those verses. And that these people, this is what they say. This is what they say. That they're in the paradise. All of them are in paradise. And this is the case. The people of Al-Istifa, the people of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even those who oppress their own souls. This is their outcome. Alhamdulillah, alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. All praise and thanks is to Allah, the one who has removed from us all grief and all worry. Even some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that those who say this, they're the zalimun li nafsi, the ones who oppress their own soul, that they were afraid for their selves in this manner, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned them and admitted them into paradise along with those who are first and foremost. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, Shaykh al-Shanfiti rahimahullah, فَقَدْ بَيَّنَ تَعَالَى فِي هَذِي الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ أَنَّ إِرَاثَ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ لِهَذِي الْكِتَابِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى أَنَّ اللَّهِ اصْطَفَاهَا فِي قَوْلِهِ ثُمَّ أَرَثْنِ كِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. So that verily Allah, he clarified in this noble verse that by causing this ummah to inherit the revelation, the book, is an evidence that Allah has chosen them. This is the final revelation. The revelation of the Quran is the final revelation. So this revelation is a continuance of the previous revelations. So therefore the ummah of Muhammad, they have inherited the revelation in entirety. The revelation had come from prophet to prophet until it came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now it's sealed. So the ummah of Muhammad, they're the last ummah, and they have the followers of the last prophet. There's no prophet after him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are the followers of the final and the seal of revelation. So they have inherited the book, and all of the books. In this manner. So this is an evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen them. And this is in this statement here. And then we have cause to inherit the book, those we have chosen from our slaves. وَبَيَّنَ أَنَّهُمْ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ. And then Allah clarified that there are three categories. Here, Shaykh al-Shankhiti, we pay attention. He mentioned the same, a similar interpretation as the Shaykh al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, but it's slightly different to help clarify who these individuals are and the characteristics of these three categories. الأول الظالم لنفسه. The first of these three categories is the one who oppresses his own soul. Who is he? He says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُطِيعُ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّهُ يَعْصِهِ أَيْضًا. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَلَكِنَّهُ يَعْصِهِ أَيْضًا. The one who oppresses his own soul, who is he? He's the one who obeys Allah, but also he disobeys him. Who is the one who oppresses his own soul? He is the one who obeys Allah, but also he disobeys him. And then he said, rahimahullah, فَهُوَ الَّذِي قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ. So he is the one that Allah said about him, خَرَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. They are those who have mixed the righteous deed with the evil deed. Perhaps Allah will accept their repentance. Yani, so those who oppress their own souls, they are those who have actions of obedience with them, but also they have actions of disobedience with them. So this goes back to the point that was made in the previous class, that there are individuals from this ummah that they have khayr with them and they have shar with them. They have good with them and they have bad with them. They have good with them and bad with them. They have iman in them and they have attributes of kufr with them likewise. Not the kufr that takes them out of the deen, but they have these traits, yani, that of disbelief, it's mixed in them. They have iman, it's there, but then they have also, along with that, disobedience. Disobedience stems from disbelief. It stems from shirk and the likes like this. And so these people, they mix the good deed with the bad deed. Who are they? Those who oppress their own souls. So then he says, rahimahullah, وَالثَّانِي الْمُقْتَسِدْ هُوَ الَّذِي يُطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَلَا يَعْصِيهِ وَلَكِنَّهُ لَا يَتَخَرَّبُ بِالنَّوَافِلْ مِنَ الطَّاعَةِ. He is the one, the muqtasid, the one on the moderate path, he is the one who obeys Allah and he doesn't disobey him, but he doesn't draw near to Allah with the non-obligatory actions of worship. But he doesn't seek to draw near to Allah with the non-obligatory actions of obedience. Yani, the fact that a person will never disobey Allah, this is yani, rare. The point is, yani, that they don't disobey Allah, meaning that they don't fall into major sin. Or if they happen to fall, like Allah mentioned about them in Surah Ali Imran, they repent quickly. And like what Allah mentioned about them, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Yani, they repent quickly, so they don't fall into sin and then become engulfed in it. Or disobey, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not something that is normal from them. And the likes like this. But maybe they will slip and they will come back. And so in reality, it's as if they don't disobey Allah. And they're the people who are striving to be upright and be obedient. So it's considered they obey Allah and they don't disobey Him. They strive to not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالثَّالِثُ أَسَابِقُ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. And the third category is those who hasten and compete to do good. وهو الذي يأتي بالواجبات واجتنب المحرمات ويتخرب إلى الله بالطاعات والقربات التي هي غير واجبة. And he is the one who performs the obligations and avoids and stays away from the prohibitions. And he seeks nearness to Allah with the actions of obedience, seeking to draw near to Allah with the actions of obedience, which are not obligatory. And then he mentioned that this is the best opinion. And because the people of knowledge, they differ with regards to this interpretation, but Allah knows best. This is the correct interpretation mentioned by Ibn Kathir and many of the people of knowledge. And Ibn Al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, Tariq Al-Hijratain, he mentioned many different opinions about this statement here and clarified that this is the correct interpretation of these three categories mentioned in Surah and the verse in Surah Al-Fatir. Then he mentioned here, rahimahullah ta'ala, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ تَعَالَى بَيَّنَ أَنَّ إِرَاثَهُمُ الْكِتَابُ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ مِنْهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then Allah clarifies that the fact that He caused them to inherit the book is His great grace upon them, from Him. The great grace from Him to them, from Allah Azza wa Jal to them. ثُمَّ وَعَدَ الْجَمِيعِ بِجَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. And then He promised all of them with everlasting paradise, with gardens, everlasting gardens of paradise. وَهُوَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِئَادِ. And Allah, He does not go back on the promise. Allah does not go back on the promise. So this is the point the author, the Shaykh, he mentioned in the beginning, from the most hopeful verses. The verses that bring the most hope. Even if a person, he oppresses his own soul with sins, even major sins, but he knows he's a believer. What do we mean now when we say we know he's a believer? Then we know that he knows from his, he believes in Allah, he believes in Prophet Muhammad, he believes in the Jannah, he believes in the Nar, he believes in the obligation of Salat and Zakat, he believes in the, he's a believer. He knows from himself this reality, he believes in the reckoning and the accountability, he believes in the Halal and the Haram. He knows this from himself, but he has deficiencies and he's weak and he's being overcome by his soul and his whims and his desires and the likes like this. Even he will not give up hope, because he's from who? He's from Ahlul Istifa'. So he will make mujahada, and he will strive against his soul to remove himself from this trial, and to seek the refuge and the help of Allah to avoid these affairs and to stop oppressing his own soul. But he would still have hope, because he's from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's promised to enter paradise so long as he didn't leave Islam. But his hope wouldn't overcome him, and he wouldn't rely upon that, because likewise the sins expose him to the anger of Allah. And although he has the promise to enter paradise, he does not have the promise to enter without punishment. He does not have the promise to enter without punishment. He's not safe from the fire. He's not safe from the fire in entirety. So the Shaykh, he mentions now, فِي قَوْلِهِ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا. This is clarified in this statement here. Gardens of everlasting paradise. Everlasting gardens of paradise that they will all enter. إلى قوله لا يمسنا فيها لغوب والواو في يدخلونها شاملة للظالم والمقتصد والسابق على التحقيق. But in great detail and emphasizing the truth, the wow here, the wow and يدخلونها, this pronoun, it includes the one who oppresses his own soul and the one who is on a middle course and the one who is the first and foremost in doing good. They will all enter. So they refers back to all three categories. So he says, وَلِذَا قَالَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ حَقٌ لِهَذِهِ الْوَاوْ أَنْ تُكْتَبَ بِمَاءِ الْعَيْنَيْنِ. So some of the people of knowledge, they said, because of this, that it's the right for this well to be written with tears, to be written with tears, because of the great hope that a believer will find from this. From this well here, this pronoun referring back to all of the Muslims, and then he says, فَوَعْدُهُ صَادِقُ بِجَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ لِجَمِيعِ أَقْسَامِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَأَوَّلُهُمُ الظَّالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْآيَةَ مِنْ أَرْجَى آيَاتِ الْقُرْآنِ. That his true promise, the true promise of Allah, of everlasting gardens of paradise for all three of these divisions, and all three of the divisions of this ummah, and the first of them are those who oppress their own souls indicates that this verse here is from the verses that have that bring about the most hope in the heart of a believer that are found in the Quran. وَلَمْ يَبْقَى مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَحَدٌ خَارِجًا عَنِ الْأَقْسَامِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. And there is nobody from the Muslims outside of these three levels. And all of the Muslims are going to be included here. And either he's going to be ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ or he's going to be مُقْتَسِد or he's going to be سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَةِ. All of the Muslims are included here. So this is the point, that all of the Muslims have this promise. فَالْوَعْدُ صَادِقُ بِالْجَنَّةِ فِي الْآيَةِ شَامِلٌ لِجِمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. So therefore the true promise of paradise, and this verse is included for all of the Muslims. Is included for all of the Muslims. So now we see this is from those evidence of Ahl Sunnah. Again, likewise with the people of Iman, that all of them, they're promised paradise. That all of them, they're promised paradise. Those people of At-Tawheed, the people of Al-Islam, the people of Al-Iman, they are all promised paradise. Those who die with that, even if they have the lightest, the smallest amount of faith, they went to paradise. They went to paradise. In the Hadith of Shafa'ah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned it will be said, go into the fire and take out the one who has the mustard seed of faith. And they will take him out of the fire. And then they'll say, go into the fire, and the one who has the lightest, the adana mithqal, dhar min al-iman, the lightest, smallest ants weight of faith, and take him out of the fire. So all of them will come out of the fire. Some of them will never enter the fire. But all of those who are believers, they will enter the paradise. So the point now is that the believers, although they all enter paradise, they do not all enter at the same time. Nor do they all enter in the same manner. Some of them, they enter in the very beginning with honor and with grace and mercy. And others, they enter after being taken to account lightly. And then others, they will enter after being cleansed in the hellfire. And after being taken account for their sins and being cast into the hellfire. But even just as the believers do not all enter the paradise in the same manner, likewise the people of the fire do not all enter the fire in the same manner. So those believers who are cleansed in the fire, they're not entered the entrance of the disbelievers. Because the disbelievers, they're entered in disgrace. Whenever they come to the gates of the hellfire, futihat abwabuha, all the automatically, until they're cast in there. It's blazing in their faces, and they're humiliated in there, and they're punished in there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them with no mercy. As for the believers, they're not entered in this manner. They're entered in the manner of cleansing and purification. So therefore, the fact that they enter the hellfire is from the mercy of Allah. It's from the mercy of Allah. Because Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in some of his works, he mentioned that there are three rivers in this life to be purified from. The repentance, and from the good deeds, and from the trials and calamities. These are called the anhar, al-mutahira, or as he mentioned, I can't remember the word he mentioned, but the meaning is like this. There are three rivers that purify and cleanse a believer in this life. This is his terminology. In this life. So the believer, before he dies, either he'll be cleansed by making sincere repentance, and he'll die upon purity and enter paradise in this manner. Or he will be tried with trials and calamities until he has no sins left, and he dies in a pure state where the soul is good. Or he will commit the actions of righteousness that wipe out and remove the evil and cleanse his soul, and he dies in this manner. So therefore he will not be punished. He'll be from the muqtasideen at bare minimum, because his soul will be pure in these manners. But the one who's not cleansed in one of these three affairs, then he'll be cleansed in the hereafter, either by the pardon and the mercy of Allah entirely, will pardon him as Allah wills, or in the hellfire, he'll be cleansed in the hellfire. So this fact is that they had along with them sins. Their soul is tainted. Their soul is corrupted, but it has the foundation of goodness there. So that foundation has to be purified and cleansed. So therefore they're entered into the hellfire in this manner. Not in the same way as the disbelievers. But no one would want to face the hellfire and to face his Lord in that manner. وَمَا مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا وَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ. ليس بينه وبينه ترجمان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, not one of you. There's not one of you except he's going to meet his Lord. He's going to talk to his Lord. There's not going to be any translators between them. So a believer, he should be prepared for that. He should be shy that he would meet Allah and that he will be held accountable for these affairs, following his desires, following his whims, oppressing his own soul with his eyes and his hands, with his tongue, with his mouth, oppressing the slaves of Allah, oppressing the servants of Allah, oppressing the people and their likes and their blood and their property and their reputation and their wealth, and then facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with these affairs. So to remember these issues will help a believer to avoid that and stay away from that. In any case, the people of paradise do not enter in the same manner, and the people of the hellfire do not enter in the same manner. So a believer now, he can look and say, who do I want to be from? Who do I want to be from? like this, and then follow that path. Because those, first and foremost, they have these traits. They obey Allah and they don't disobey Him. And they perform that which is even not obligatory upon them. And they do that inwardly and outwardly in the best manner. So that means they are people of knowledge and application. They have knowledge of the obligations. They have knowledge of the recommended affairs. They have knowledge of the prohibitions. They have knowledge of the creed. They know Tawheed. They know the Asma and the Sifat. They know their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They know the Sunnah of the Messenger, that which is halal, that which is haram. They're not ignorant people. They're not worshipping Allah upon ignorance. They're not worshipping Allah upon heedlessness. They're not worshipping Allah upon desires, upon customs, upon culture. They're worshipping Allah upon knowledge, upon light, upon insight, with love and devotion and hope and servitude in this manner, with knowledge. So this is how they got there. And that's a favor from Allah for them, but there are means for that. If somebody was hungry right now, what would he do? Say to himself, if it's the decree of Allah, then I will be full? Or will he take the means and find the food that is beneficial for him, that would suffice his hunger? So like this, any of the knowledge is similar. It's a blessing. That provision is a blessing from Allah. And it's a decree from Allah. But Allah has also decreed means that one will take in order to achieve it and to obtain it. Likewise, the knowledge. Likewise, the righteous deeds. Likewise, the path to paradise. There are steps one will take. There are actions that lead to that. One has to be upon that path. Likewise, there are actions that lead to the hellfire. There are statements that lead to the hellfire. There is manners. The people of Jannah, they have manners. The people who enter Jannah without any punishment and any reckoning, they have manners and conduct of faith, actions of faith, statements of faith. Their tree is good and strong. Those under them likewise, in the similar way. Even those who oppress their own soul, although they oppress their own soul, they still have the foundation of those noble manners and those deeds and that creed. And so they're not the same as the disbelievers. They're not the same as the disbelievers. Not in their manners, not in their conduct, not in their action. Even before that, not in their creed. And so this is the issue. So all of these people, they will enter the paradise, alhamdulillah. May Allah make us from them. Rather, may Allah make us from the best of them and grant us Jannat al-Firdaws and A'la. All of us and our loved ones and our family and our wives and our children. The people of knowledge, they mention a benefit with regards to supplication. We supplicate, alhamdulillah. That's the way of a believer. But we supplicate for the likes of these affairs, and now it's incumbent to take the means of that. And so we ask Allah for this, to make us from these people. Now we have to make the step. We have to make the step to be from them. We have to learn who they are, what they're upon, and the likes like this, and learn likewise who they're not. Who they're not, and what they're not upon, and what they're not like, in order to not be like any, to avoid that as well. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَقَدْ يَعْطِفُ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ أو التقوى أو الصبر للحاجة إلى ذكر المعطوف لئلا يظن الظان أن الإيمان يكتفى فيه بما في القلب فكم في القرآن من قوله إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ثم يذكر خبرا عنهم. So the Shaykh now he's clarifying another detail of the interpretation of al-Iman. Rahimahullah, and he says, and sometimes Allah, He will couple with the mention of Iman, the mention of righteous deeds. He'll mention it together. Al-Atf in the Arabic language is a conjunction, yani in English. And yani with the waw, he will say, yani, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحًا. Those who believe and work righteous deeds. So this is what he's talking about now. So sometimes the faith, the mention of Iman will come along with the mention of righteous deeds, or along with the mention of taqwa, or along with the mention of sabr. We understand? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he'll mention Iman directly, and then say those who believe and he'll mention the righteous deeds. Or those who believe and he'll mention taqwa, piety. And those who believe and sabr, they have patience, like this. So the shaykh is saying that he does this, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this manner because of the need to mention this affair, the affair that's coupled along with it, so that no one would think that Iman is sufficient, that Iman and what is intended by Iman is simply that which is in the heart alone. It's simply that which is in the heart alone. You need to verify and to clarify the importance of the thing mentioned along with it. To clarify and to verify the importance of the thing mentioned along with it. Because, for example, he says, how many times has it come in the Quran that the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, verily those who believe and work righteous deeds. Verily those who believe and work righteous deeds. So from what has preceded, it should be very clear for all of us that working righteous deeds is from Al-Iman. It's from Al-Iman. So it's included in those who believe. And because those who believe, from their belief is that they work righteous deeds. But to emphasize the issue of righteous deeds, and that from Iman is working righteous deeds. So working righteous deeds is from Iman. But it's mentioned here specifically to clarify that affair. But it's mentioned here specifically to clarify that affair. And this will come like this, and then Allah will mention about them. The scholars of Usul al-Fiqh, they mention this is called Atfu. الخاص على العام نعم عطفه الخاص على العام. So this is the case here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many times he will mention this affair, those who believe and work righteous deeds. So working righteous deeds is from al-Iman, it's from faith, it's from belief, but it's mentioned in this manner like this, coupled with the mention of faith, to emphasize that affair, to emphasize that affair, and to show the importance of the righteous deeds. So now the Shaykh, he says, وَالْأَعْمَالُ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمِنْ لَوَازِمِ الْإِيمَانِ وَهِيَ أَلَّتِي يَتَحَقَّقُ بِهَا الْإِيمَانِ. So he says, rahimahullah, that the righteous actions, they're from Iman, they're from faith, and they are from that which is necessitated by the faith. And they're from the faith itself, and likewise that which the faith necessitates. And if the faith is truly there, then the righteous deeds will be there. And the stronger the faith is there, the more righteous deeds will be there, and the better they will be. So it's from the faith itself, righteous deeds, and likewise it's from that which the faith requires and necessitates. And in this manner, the faith is actualized, and by the righteous deeds. And so these are three important sentences mentioning here. And why does Allah mention those who believe and work righteous deeds, when working righteous deeds is from belief? Because working righteous deeds is from belief, no doubt. And also from that which the belief necessitates and requires. And also in the means for the belief to become established and actualized. So the belief would not be established and actualized except with Iman. And the one who truly has Iman, the Iman requires for him to act. So therefore, the actions are from Iman. So therefore now it's clarified that this mention coupled like this is to emphasize and show the importance of the actions with regards to Al-Iman. So now the Shaykh, he says, فَمَنِ ادَّعَ أَنَّهُ مُؤْمِنٌ وَهُوَ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ فَلَيْسَ بِصَادِقٍ فِي إِيمَانِهِ. So therefore, whoever claims that he's a believer and he did not work in application to the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he performing the obligations and leaving off the prohibitions, then he is not truthful in his claim to faith. You understand that? Even if he is from those who have faith, and his claim is, he's not truthful in that. There's deficiency in his faith. And he, from the beautiful understanding the people of knowledge, they mentioned, and this really will help a person if he's sincere. And it would affect, may Allah affect our hearts with faith. That this is from the Shahada. Yani the Shahada, that a person, he bear witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is the Shahada. We all have the Shahada, alhamdulillah. This is the favor. The Shahada, that's it. That's the key. No one enters paradise except with this. The Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Those first and foremost, they fulfilled the rights of that. They know what it means, they know what it requires, they know what it necessitates, and they strove against their souls. And they fought their soul, they fought their self, inside their self. Their self calls them to evil, calls them to say things, to look at things, to do things. And they fight their self to be obedient. They fight in the unseen. They can't see Allah. And even whenever they're alone and nobody can see them, they know Allah sees them. And they fight their soul, and they fight their soul, and they fight their soul until their soul becomes strong and pure and light and good, and they raise in the rank. And their shahada is heavy in their scales. And their shahada is heavy in their scales. Whenever a person, he commits sins, this is a deficiency in his shahada. He's not fulfilling the trust. He's not carrying the shahada. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that some people, their shahada is like this, and he referring to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. Those who are established their testimonies, they're upright with their testimonies. And he, some people, their shahada is like this, upright and strong and firm. And other people, their shahada is like this, leaning and leaning and leaning. And some people, their shahada is on his side, laying down. And another interpretation of that shahada is what? The tree of faith. Some people's tree of faith is high. أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء تؤتي أكلها كل حين بإذن ربها. That's the case, any of the shahada. Other people's trees, they got the tree, but his tree is a little bit limp. His tree branches broken off, leaves crumbling, withered up in certain spots. Other people's tree is about to fall over. Some people, their tree fell over, but alhamdulillah, there's another tree there that caught it. And it's, and if that other tree was not there, then if you, I've seen this example in the woods. If you look around, there's some trees, they fell. They become uprooted, but they landed on other trees. So they stayed alive. Its roots are still in the ground. And it's still producing fruits, but it's leaning on the other trees. That's the case of those good brothers that sacrifice much time and effort to help another person, to help another believer, to carry them whenever they're weak, to advise them in their lives like this until they're leaning on them. Had it not been from the favor of Allah that he had good companions, he would have been left to fall on his face and to disbelieve. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is the case, any of the shahada, this is what is at stake. A person's shahada, a person's his shahada. So he should take this seriously. A deficiency in the iman is a deficiency in his testimony that he bears witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. So if he follows his desires, then this is showing preference to his desires over his love for Allah. Over his love for Allah. If he disobeys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is showing the preference to his desires over his love for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so to realize these things and to fight oneself, his own self. Never mind the kuffar, never mind this, yani one's own soul first. And jihad in nafs, zakat in nafs. And this one, it takes precedence. And then whenever a person rectifies his soul, then the victory will come. And then the aid will come. And it wasn't until this time, until the companions, and they conquered the lands. And whenever they rectified their self and their souls, and they went through trials and tests, and they passed them. And they passed them. And they learned how to control their tongues, and control their eyes, and control their hands, and control their hearts. And for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, at this time they were given control of the land. At this time they were given control of the land. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So again he says, any the one who does not comply to the command of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the performance of the obligations, or leaving off the prohibitions, فَلَيْسَ بِصَادِقٍ فِي إِيمَانِهِ. He's not truthful in his faith. He's not truthful in his shahada. He's not truthful in his shahada. And there's deficiency there. So although his faith could be there, or his shahada could be there, there's deficiency there. There's a deficiency there. Should a believer have despair? Why not? Because even if he died in that manner, he's still from the people of faith and he still promised to be from the people of Jannah, Ahlul Istifa. Also, he should not despair because although that tree can become weak, also it can come back to life. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. And so even then, even if he repented to Allah Azza wa Jal, his faith can become strong again. The deficiency in his shahada can be rectified. His shahada can stand straight again. His tree can begin producing fruits again. He can come back to life again by remembering Allah, by remembering the promise of Allah, by remembering the meaning of Allah, by taking his soul seriously, by taking his life seriously. That doesn't mean that you can never smile or have fun, but that means that you stay in the limits of Allah. You have fun in the limits of Allah. You enjoy this life in the limits of Allah. A believer, he can have the mercy and the good of this life and the hereafter if he's sincere and strives against his soul. So now the Shaykh, he says, Rahimahullah, كَمَا يَقْرِنُ بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى فِي مِثْلِ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And also, just as Allah, he couples along the mention of Iman with taqwa any other times. And yet taqwa is from Iman. And this is like in the statement of Allah the Most High, verily the allies and the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, they have no fear and they have no grief, and they are those who believe and they fear Him. They have taqwa. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.